O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in, behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God! How vast is the sum of them! If I could count them, they are more than the sand. I awake, and I am still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God! O men of blood, depart from me! They speak against you with malicious intent. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with complete hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any grievous way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. May the Lord add his blessing to these words.
Good morning, beloved. How's everybody feeling today? You're not here by accident, by the way. As you can see from Psalm 139, there are no accidents with the Lord. Let's pray. Father God, may the meditations of our hearts and the words of my mouth be acceptable in your sight, our Lord and our Redeemer. Father, this sermon was put together by you. It was changed at the last minute because you told me to do so. And there was a reason for it that was yet unknown, and today manifested itself, Father, because we're going to use an anecdotal description of how you have answered prayers this week and how you have moved us in our lives. And we ask you to teach us your word so that we might know it and live it in our hearts. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Well, in choosing this morning's sermon, because we've been doing this series on, you know, the Psalms, and I wanted to do something impactful, so I picked a psalm that is totally not what today's psalm is about. Today, you're going to laugh a little bit, you're probably going to cry a little bit, and you're going to do a little of both. Kathy and I stopped and bought some tissues on the way in, so if anybody would like some Kleenex, just let me know we have some. In fact, I'll pass this around. We'll start over here. Who needs some? Okay. All right, so God knows the real you. I was ministering this week with the Loftus family. Jeanette's mother, you should know, passed away today. She is here in church this morning to be with her family. Amen? So we're going to give her a lot of love and support. I had already picked out the sermon that I was going to do today. And then during the week when I got the call from, I had been speaking with and going down to meet with Jeanette and Tracy, and God put on my heart, you know, you need to change the psalm that you're going to do. That's not the psalm I want you to do this Sunday. And then when I hear the music that Rusty chose this morning, he didn't know, and look. So if you don't think that God knows everything at all times and isn't everywhere in your life, look at this anecdotally today, and you'll see how he has worked in the lives of people at Beachside and in your Beachside family just this week and just today. God knows the real you. Oh Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up, you discern my thoughts from afar. You discern. You know everything there is about me. You have discerned who I am, what my being is about. You know me better than I know myself. Ask yourself a question. Who on earth knows you best? Eden, who knows you best? Your mom? No. Who on earth knows you better than anybody else? Your spouse? Terry, does your spouse know you better than anybody on earth? Is there anybody who knows you better than maybe your siblings, your children, your really good friends? Is there anyone who knows you better than you know you? And the answer is yes. And that's why Christ led me to this psalm this morning. So let me tell you before I get into the psalm how I was introduced to this psalm in my life. And I'm going to try to get through this. You can probably hear my voice. I'm a little emotional. My wife's already crying. So 5 years ago, 6 years ago, my wife and I went on a nice cruise. We went to the Western Caribbean. We went into a cave. I'm kind of adventurous. It was Ximbalba, the Mayan underworld cave where, you know, the Mayan dead would go. It's interesting that we would do this because Sheol is mentioned in here, which is kind of a similar place to the ancient Hebrew people. So while we're there, I catch this infection that I have no idea what it is. It's a fungus that grows in bat guana. You know what guana is, folks? There is a four-letter word for it I'm not going to mention up here. So I get this, and 6 months later, I'm in the gym. Rachel, whom I don't see here today. Rachel, no. Rachel was one of the instructors at the gym. I have a massive heart attack. White blood cells went to attack a part of the fungus that had lodged itself in my right main artery. And what do you think happened then? The white blood cells stopped the blood flow. Boom. They take me to an ambulance to the hospital. I'm joking around with all the people. Kathy's crying her eyes out. I'm trying to make her feel better. I can't catch a breath because I'm getting no oxygen. The doctor comes in and says, gentlemen, can we be a little bit more professional? This man is having a massive heart attack. They take me back. I die. I felt the presence of God the whole time. I wasn't worried about me. Is that weird to say? I wasn't worried about me? Would you be worried about yourself if you were at a moment in your life when you were giving up the Spirit and committing your spirit to God? Would you be scared in that moment? Raise your hand, everybody. Yeah. It's true, you'll be scared. So in that moment, I have a conversation with God in my head about God. There are a lot of people whom I love back on earth, and I really want to be there for them. I haven't done everything that you needed me to do, and I can't leave Kathy. She would be devastated. I felt like I fell two stories back into my body. Right at that time was, I don't know how many joules they hit you with, but they should put a bit in your mouth because I cracked some teeth when they shocked me back. So I get through that, and the next day I wake up. Mr. Corbett, we're sorry to tell you this. You have stage 4 cancer. You're going to die in about 3 months. How would you react in that time? What would you do? Would you pray to God? Oh, yeah. Because you are all part of the family of God. You are part of Christ's church. I didn't want people around me to feel sorry for me. So everybody who came in the hospital, including the doctors and the nurses, I prayed with them, and I made a lot of jokes. Did I not, honey? I wanted people to feel comfortable with what the inevitable I was told was going to be. Then I had a doctor come in, and this is at Advent Healthcare here in town. I can't remember his name. Kathy was going to try and find it for me because she works there. She wasn't able to locate it, but he introduced me to this psalm. He said, I know a lot of stuff has come at you. Are you a Christian? I said, yes, very much so. He goes, I'd like to share this psalm with you. He read me this psalm, this doctor in the hospital. And I thought, how wonderful that is that this doctor would come in and pray with me about this. He really doesn't know what God's plan is or what's going to happen. Well, we didn't know that this, what they called stage 4 cancer, was actually a fungus. We didn't know. And they couldn't go in and get biopsies because I now have 2 stents in my heart and they don't want me to throw a clot. So for 3 months, they give me every test they can without going in and cutting me because they don't want me to throw a blood clot. And I've got 2 stents in my heart. Then, After we go through, they are all convinced. I mean, we had the best surgeons. We had 6 really good doctors that are of different specialties. Mayo Clinic and this guy up in St. Augustine, Dr. Hussein, figured out that what I had was a fungal infection. And when they traced it back, they figured out what had happened and when I had contracted it. Then they gave me a medicine that usually shuts people's livers down. A lot of people don't live through the medication. I was taking it. He said, this we give to women when they have a yeast infection. We only give them three doses, and I'm going to put you on it for 6 months. He said, it may shut your liver down. We'll work on that if it comes to that. He made me go in every 3 or 4 weeks to do a liver functions test. Would you believe my liver functions test perfect? He goes, I don't know what you're doing, but I can't even tell that I have you on this medication. You guys were all praying for me, by the way. Some of you weren't here, but some of you were. And you were praying for me. He said, whatever you're doing, and if you play the lotto, you might want to buy a ticket today. Keep doing it. So here I'm now, several years later, standing in front of you, talking about a psalm that I was introduced to. And as I was going to see Tracy and Jeanette this week, and by the way, their mom was funny all the way out. She had us all laughing. So I'm talking to them, and I'm like, you know, God keeps impressing on me, you know, you gotta do Psalm 139. You got to do Psalm 139. Okay, God, I'm going to do that. And so I got in touch with Rusty and the rest of the preaching team, said, hey, guys, I'm going to change. Then, as we're talking to Christina Roman, and we're going to pray for her and the family, I'm down there. The doctors come in. They make us put all these gowns on and stuff. You're not allowed to go in the room. You have to put a gown on. You have to put gloves on, do all this stuff. They go outside. Jeanette and Tracy and Christina had been asleep, so I said, well, I'm just going to stay here and pray with her. So I grab her hand, and I start praying, and her eyes open right up and look at me and smile. I continue to pray and talk to her a little bit about God while Tracy and Jeanette are outside. I knew it wasn't going to be long. I wasn't going to tell you guys that. I mean, she made it pretty clear to me, and so did the Holy Spirit. So, they came back in the room, and we're talking, and this is how God, anecdotally here, has worked, just like this psalm has worked. In Christina's life, Jeanette's life, they're like, my life. Rusty didn't know it when he was putting these songs together. How fitting was it? 10,000 reasons, guys. 10,000 reasons. Your music touches me, by the way, Russ. You and the Beachside Band, I don't know what you guys call yourself. I call you Rusty and the Beachsiders. So, been trying to think of a name for years. That's all I can come up with. So as I'm picking this out, and I'm reading this, and I'm talking with them, and we're praying in the room. Christina made it pretty clear. She's not happy the way things are. So God decides to come to the rescue, and, you know, as we're making her laugh a little bit, I'm rubbing her foot like I would rub Kathy's sometimes, you know. She likes me to, you know, massage her feet and stuff. And I used to do a lot of push-ups on my fingertips in Taekwondo. I still kind of do sometimes. So my hands are really strong. So she looks at me and she goes, ooh. She goes, that's kind of sexy or something, she said. And we just cracked up. Yeah. And she said, you want me to stop? And she goes, no. So that's why this psalm, and that's why I give you the anecdotal things that I experienced in learning this psalm and how it came to me and then how it came to be that we're teaching on it this Sunday. Amen? So God knows the real you. If you think you've ever hid anything from God, you haven't. Oh, Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit, when I rise. You discern my thoughts from afar. God gives us a picture of his knowledge. It's total discernment, folks. And how wondrous it is, because there are billions and billions and billions of planets and stars and billions of people. And he knows us all individually. Knit by knit, your DNA strand, your double helix in your DNA, all the things that science thinks is wonderful, they keep discovering God's known about forever. He's got to be chuckling sometimes when he goes, you guys have no clue. So, what is it when God knows everything? Well, hey, I'm going to use the clicker today, guys. Thanks, Mike. So, God knows the real you. There's a word called omniscient. So this is one of those words that you're going to be able to impress at your next theology class when you're talking to Nate. Hey, I know what omniscient is. Omniscient means all-knowing, having infinite awareness, understanding, and insight, possessed of universal or complete knowledge, the omniscient God. But God's more than omniscient, because all our fears, all our hopes, all our sorrows, all our love, all our compassion, all our regret is known to God. The facade that you put on the morning before you come to church, before you go to work, before you face the day, God knows everything that's behind that facade. He knows you better than your spouse knows you. He knows you better than your children know you. He knows you better than you know you. And he wants you to know that he knows that. He remains closer to you than you think. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. God exists everywhere. So God is all-knowing, but he's also all-present. He's omnipresent. So he's omniscient and he's omnipresent. He's everywhere. You can't hide from God. You can't flee from him. Can you give some examples of when God fled from people? From people fled from God. Anybody have an example? Let me click one time. Hey, here we go. All right, there's an answer up there. Anybody want to answer it? Yes. Jonah. I love it that Jonah tried to flee. God wanted him to go and be a prophet for him, and he's like, I am getting out of here. He was not able to run from God. You're not able to hide from God. He knows who you are, and he loves you. What gets in the way of this relational existence that we have with God? Sin. What is sin? It's comprised of guilt and shame. It gets in the way of you being close to your Creator. God doesn't put that there. You put it there. God knows you're going to sin. He knew you were going to sin. Before you were born, he knew what sins you were going to do, what days you were going to do them on, and how they were going to be done. And he still loves you. We're not worthy, folks. We don't have to be anymore. You can get that sin and guilt and shame, give it to the cross, and then let God lead your life. You'll find that when you do that, you will experience a peace. What does God call it? A peace that surpasses all human understanding. So don't let your relationship with God be hindered by your guilt. God never leaves you. God continues to pursue you, even when you don't pursue him. There may have been times in your life, now you're in the church and you're listening to the word and you may be a little closer to God now. There have been times in my life where I wasn't as close to God or I didn't feel as close to God as I feel now. My fault. But he was there anyway. When you take that last breath, he's going to be there. Would you want anybody else to be there? God always works in your life. Whether you're a lifelong Christian or if you're new to the faith, God has always been working in your life. Before you were saved, before you read a scripture, before you believed in any way in God, he was working in your life. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it well. Intimate relationship with God. My soul, David says, knows it well. David was a sinner too. We talked about that. What were some of David's sins? Murder, lying, adultery, and many more. But he never let his sin get in the way of his relationship with Yahweh. And here he is telling us that. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. God knows all of us. He knows what we're going to do tomorrow. He knows what we've already done. He knows Christina Roman. He knew what days she was going to have on the earth and how she was going to affect your lives and how she was going to love you, her grandkids, and her great-grandkids. God was there. God pursues you. He pursues us first so that we can later pursue him when he calls us. So we can answer that call. He equips us. From the moment of conception, God was with you. God wants to use you, not for your benefit, but for his benefit of his church, for the body of Christ. I'm convinced I'm only standing in front of you because God wanted me to show his love a few more days on this planet. God always works in your life. I'm clicking. Okay, thanks. Didn't click. God always works in your life. God records every moment of your life. He's planned it. He's planned for you. You always existed. God's plan for you existed before you were born. He loves you that much. Now, here's a challenge. In your conversations, talk about how you see God at work in your life. How people and situations in your life, who or that God used to pursue you. How did you end up knowing God or having a relationship now? How did you come to Beachside? You have this love in your heart and you feel these things. Share them with your neighbors. Share them with people with whom you love. Invite them to come to church and hear the word of God. Invite them to our little Beachside church. I love you guys so much. We are the smallest church I've ever belonged to, and I feel closer to this church than any church I've ever belonged to in my life. Amen? Amen. God always works in your life. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. So David now is confessing to God. After he's been a great warrior, he's been a good king, but he's also been a bad one. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast the sum of them. If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake, and I am still with you. God knows you intimately. And my wife and I put this on here on purpose. God knows you intimately and loves you anyway. LOL. She had to put the smiley face on there too. We thought, you know, should we put the LOL in there? It's kind of intimate, so we did. Now, as I'm going through this, and I'm working on a sermon with, you know, and Kathy's helping me with the PowerPoints, we kind of got in a little bit, not an argument, but she's like, no, this doesn't flow right, because we get to the end where verse 19 comes in, where now David is talking about slaying the wicked and doing stuff like that. She goes, oh no, this is all about love, chasing people, all that stuff. Well, we don't want to talk about people dying. And what's interesting was, too, doing the research for this, a lot of the theologians whom I was reading about and talking about, they didn't touch this either. They stopped right after God always works in your life, after verse 18, they were done. But we have to look at everything because this is what God's word, amen? So this word has meaning. This is a prayer for vindication. What does vindication mean? David wants to be vindicated. He wants to be vindicated. He wants to be okay in God's sight after the things that he has done. But he wants the God to search his heart because he's like, God, these people are wicked. They're bad. They don't love you like I do. At least I pursue your heart. These people don't. Oh, that you would slay them. Oh, God, oh, men of blood, depart from me. They speak against you with malicious intent. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with complete hatred. I count them my enemies. They're your enemies, Lord, so they're my enemies. Sorry. Thanks. Did we get it? Yes. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Well, what do we make of this? Here's David, who is now probably a little older since it's Psalm 139, I would say. Probably a little wiser after he's done as much sinning as he has done in his life and has been enough times away from what God wants for him, dealing with Bathsheba and killing people and stuff like that, and then working his way back to getting himself right with God, not God getting himself right with David, because God doesn't change, amen? There's an old saying we've heard it a million times, I'm sure. If you don't feel as close to God now as you used to, who moved? So what do we make of this scripture? Well, in these times of old, God told the Israelites to do a lot of different things, and he used them. It was a different time, folks, and this is the old covenant. We do now have a new covenant. So I'm going to add to this prayer for vindication, Had Christ already come and given David the gospel, here's how I think Christ would want us to think about this. In Matthew 5, verses 43 through 45, Jesus is speaking. I love it when Jesus speaks. Amen? Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy." Well, we just heard that, didn't we? "But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust." Don't judge, folks. Leave it to God. Your vindication with God, David will be vindicated with God. Leave it in God's hands. David is trying to put it in God's hands, but I say to you, set your souls right before you go to your Maker. Know who Christ is and what he wants in your life. And he wants you to have peace. He does not want you to judge anyone else's salvation. He wants you to love all people. We're all sinners. Love us anyway. Love your neighbor anyway. You know, sometimes I miss Chris because I'll be in Publix and I'll think of Chris because I'm in line going, "Oh my gosh, I chose the slowest bagger in this place." And this lady, she can't figure it out. I told the lady yesterday, Kathy and I were in there. I'm like, "Okay, we'd like 2 racetrack gas cards," while she was scanning stuff, because if you spend more than $50, you can get a gas card. You spend $40, you get it for, you know, and you get $50 worth of gas. So we wanted 2 of them because we spent a little bit of money. The lady stops and goes, "Can I finish this first?" And I'm like, and I'm sitting here going, I better give her grace and everything because God's given me grace, but man. You know, shopping is not a pleasure right now. Yes. Be careful what you pray for, brother. You pray for God for patience, he's going to teach you to be patient. I learned that one. So prayers for vindication. David asked God to search his soul and his heart because he wanted God to know, "God, I don't want you to slay these people because I want you to slay them. I want you to slay them because they are wicked and they hate you, and because they hate you and they're wicked and do bad things, I want them slayed in your name." Again, we've seen what Jesus says about that. Love your neighbor. Pray for your neighbor. If you work with someone whom you find it difficult to get along with, pray for them. It's going to be hard sometimes. I did 12 years in the Army. I can tell you I worked for a lot of NCOs and particularly officers, no offense, Chris, we love you, who did not have a clue. Didn't know how to lead people, didn't know how to talk to soldiers, didn't know what they were doing. If they had to shoot an azimuth, would ask me because they didn't know what the heck was going on. And you guys probably don't know what an azimuth is. Trust me, it's not easy. Now you got GPS where you can go, "Oh, we just have to go 2 clicks that way." So, love your neighbor. So now let's wrap up everything that we unpacked. So bringing it all together, God exists omnisciently and omnipresently. God's everywhere right now at all times. I love the nonverbal cues. Did I go the wrong way? Yeah, hang on. Okay. God exists both omnisciently and omnipresently. He's everywhere. He's everywhere. He's present when you, if you go to Sheol, which is, this is what the Hebrews called, it wasn't really Hades, because the idea of Sheol to the Jewish people of the time, it was a place, if your body died, that's where your soul just kind of went and hung out. There was no love, there was no hate, there was no anything. It was just kind of a, eh. That developed as the years went on, and they started thinking of it more as what we look at now as Hades and hell, because Christ began to speak about hell. Christ taught us really what hell was about. So, refuse to allow your sin to come between you and your guilt or separate you from God. Christ came to justify you and wash all that away. So God works in your life before your birth and after your death. He is there. When Christina Roman was born, before she was knit, before she had you, God knew that Christina was going to have you as a daughter. He knew every moment of her life. He knew what he was going to do. He knew how she was going to love you. He knew how you were going to love her. That's how great our Creator is. He knows you intimately. His grace vindicates you. So there's no need to feel the emotions that David felt of hate. Don't let hate be one of your emotions in life. It's easy to fall into it, and the enemy wants you to fall into it. Don't hate. Love. And the more you forgive and the more you ask for forgiveness, the more grace you're going to give to other people. Because if you're going to receive grace, you have to give grace. Amen? Amen? All right. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the timing on that working pretty well. We are going to pray, and then we're going to say the Apostles' Creed. Please join me. Father God, we come to you in prayer. We ask that you would bless all the soldiers who are serving overseas. We ask that you would bless Pastor Chris as he's over there ministering to people and giving them the word of God. We ask, Father, that you would bless our church. Help us to get people in the door so that we can speak your word to them and you can speak through us with your word. We ask, Father, that you would please bless the family of the Loftuses as they mourn the passing of their mother, grandmother, and great-grandmother. And we pray this in all things in Christ's precious name. Amen.